Hi, this is Dawn Shireen, and this is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. Well, on today's show is actually an interview with a friend of mine. Her name is Severin Hankinson-LaRue, and she's an awesome lady. I just want to let you know ahead of time that there are some dropouts in the recording, and we have a couple glitches. We didn't get to quite finish it. I want to tie it up the best that I can. However, I do plan on having Sev back on more to talk about hypnosis and the ways that we can change our mind, more about neuroplasticity, and more about mindfulness, and her coaching that she does within the laws of attraction. Now, what I want to do here is I want to give you some of her stuff. So, what Sev has a Divine Creatix Wealth Activation mini course coming up. Probably will be, probably will be up by Friday. However, you can get a hold of her at, okay, ready? It's a Facebook group. Now, the name of the group is Empowered Women Entrepreneurs, okay? Now, if you want the whole thing, it's www.facebook.com/groups/ capital E Empowered, okay? Capital E Empowered, capital W, capital E Entrepreneurs. So it's capital E small Empowered, capital W, capital E small Entrepreneurs. Okay, you can look for her, Severin, Severine. I really think she's probably the only one that comes up on Facebook, although I haven't tested that. And she also is giving a limited confidence free hypnosis, which I'm going to put in the show notes. So go sign up for it, okay? And she's my friend, so we know each other kind of, you know, so there's a little bit of maybe inside stuff going on, which is all good, right? Otherwise, today is Doc's birthday, which I'm trying very hard not to think about, because it's kind of making me sad today, and it's a little weird because I haven't actually mourned Doc because I was okay with the life that he had, and today, you know, poor Peanut is just kind of like, but I'm a good dog, and he is a good dog. Peanut's the best dog. Peanut's the best white dog. Anyway, I'm a little, like, frazzled today. I could possibly be going manic, and there was an issue with the recording, so I'm so glad to see that the last 45 minutes came through, relief. What I'm probably going to do is put this up and go take a walk and try to chill out. But anyway, so here's my interview with Sev. Enjoy it. Remember, it does cut out, so I will be cutting back in at the end of it, okay?
Hello, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Dawn. Thank you.
Welcome. I just love hearing your voice. It just makes me smile. And there's no way that you can say your name without like smiling, because it's like Sev, and like you're already like smiling because you have to, you know, bring your lips up to say Sev. So it's like, yeah. So you're
I
good.
I like that.
Right. That could be like your t-shirt.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
Right. I'll only take like 10% finder's fee on that. Okay. On the end side of the bank on that. Okay. So today is St. Patrick's Day. So I just did a little bit of weird research on St. Patrick. And did you know that when he was 16, he was actually kidnapped by pirates and brought from the UK? Yeah, and brought from the UK to Ireland, where he was the slave of a druid priest. Now, the slave of a druid priest, like what? It's like what?
So, that's pretty bonkers. That I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, isn't that kind of awesome? Like at 16 to be kidnapped out of your droll life in the Shire or wherever the hell he lived at, and like, I mean, I guess it could be scary, but then for 6 years, he was a slave of this druid priest and he worked as a shepherd. And it's like, well, doesn't sound really all that horrible. Like, you know.
I know it does, but you know what? It's just like many people in the world have only ever associated St. Paddy's Day with Guinness. It's really bad to say, but it's really good to know some of the, you know, the background history behind that. That's really interesting.
Right. Well, I think it's interesting that he's like the patron saint of Ireland, but he was actually born in like Lipwithshire or something like that in the 4th century, a long, long, long time ago. But yeah, and he has actually nothing to do with the snakes in Ireland. They say Ireland never had snakes ever, so he had nothing. Right? Ireland, Greenland, and a couple, like two other countries have never had snakes. Don't know why, but St. Patrick had little or nothing to do with that. So
To do with
there
that,
goes the,
yeah.
right? But I'd rather just celebrate the dude that was like the slave of a druid priest. I'm like, dude, get down with that, man.
No, likewise. That is pretty cool. Really, really cool inside story, inside knowledge. Nice.
He, so there we go. The luck of the Irish would be that you get kidnapped by pirates.
Yeah, no. I'm in England, so I think I'm safe. It's all right.
I think you're safe too. Okay, so everybody, this is, if you can't tell, this is my friend. We are friends. This is my friend Severin. Severin Hankinson LaRue, and she is a law of attraction coach, and we're going to get into what that means in a minute, because there's a lot to that. When you unwrap what the law of attraction is, there's a lot involved in that. But first,
Yeah.
Sev, why don't you give my audience and the listeners just like a brief overview of your youth up into the point of that fateful decision that you made, and then we'll talk about that more. Well, hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
That was weird. Yeah, I can hear you fine. That was just, that was like the whole, my whole network like just dropped right out of my phone. So I don't know. Sometimes with Anchor, it's hit or miss. We'll see how it goes and if it reschedule it for a time when they're more happy, but we'll just see what happens.
Okay, cool.
So I'm not surprised by this with Anchor at all. So this is like, okay, whatever, let's just pick it up. So, what we were going to do, you're going to give a brief description about your life in France, right? Where you grew up until a certain age. And then when you made that decision that day that probably altered your life in a pretty significant way. So tell everybody about your life in France.
Okay. So, yes, as you just said, I was born and raised and grew up in France. My family was very, what is the word for it? Dysfunctional could be a good word. My father was an immigrant, an North African immigrant, and through, kind of past knowledge, as in more recent past knowledge, I found out that obviously his childhood and his life was also really dysfunctional. Therefore, ours was then. So, anyway, I grew up in France, and my father was really aggressive, as in we are talking controlling emotionally and extremely controlling physically and abusive physically as well. He hid the bottle quite a lot. Christmas was begging our father to come home from the bar so then we could have Christmas Day together. So, you get a really good idea of what growing up was like. I'm the middle
Yeah,
daughter.
difficult.
I've got another two sister, a younger one and an older one, who sadly passed last year, my older sister. But that's for another conversation.
Right,
And growing
yeah.
up, which is terribly upsetting, but then more emotionally rather than physically. And it sounds really strange to say that, but growing up being told over and over and over again that you are not good enough. You're, a nobody. You're never going to achieve anything. You just, my nickname when I was a kid was Fatty. I was a little bit round and, I kind of just became that vicious circle. I had to fulfill that nickname. So I just started eating and, and so fast forward to high school. Then we had the equivalent of the GCSEs in France, which is the Brevet de Collège, and I failed. I failed, but I
Uh-oh.
was petrified, absolutely petrified for my life that I thought I could not sustain another beating. I could not face my father faced his face and his fists and then everything with it. Right. That I thought at that age, I was 15, I thought at that age that it was just not worth living. It was not worth carrying on. And I attempted to take my life at the age of 15. That's a moment that I've that clearly I'm always going to remember, but right. I left a note for my mom, explaining my reason for doing this and the fact that I was really scared, and you know she found me, so she drove me to ER, and you know obviously they managed to pump my stomach, and you know. And then, you know, they sent me to see a psychologist because obviously at 15, trying to take your own life, you know, back in exactly, you know, early 90s, yeah. 1990s, there is a problem. yeah, indeed. So for a while after that, everyone at home was walking on eggshells, and it was just, like, oh my goodness. And I was really uncomfortable. It was just really, really odd. But that kind of time of peace didn't last very long. And, you know, life as we know it or as we knew it just picked up again. And, you know, my father carried on drinking, carried on being abusive, you know, mentally and, you know, physically with my mom as well. You know, we just witnessed, you know, my mom being battered for years and years and years, not be able to do anything. And when I turned 18 in France, you're not allowed to leave home until you're 18. This is when I decided to just pack my bags and left France. So I left with absolutely nothing. And I moved to the UK. I took the boat from north of France, and then I just traveled the channel, crossed the channel, and landed in southern UK, southern England. Bunkers.
And you didn't know, right? You didn't know anybody. Did you have a place at least you were going to? Like, did you have like a job or like maybe university or something that you were?
I didn't have a job. I knew somebody because the year leading up to that, the academic year leading up to that, we did an exchange with a college in Torquay. That's where I landed. And I stayed with a Canadian family there. And the lady was just absolutely adorable. And she later on became my second mom, you know, my almost adoptive mom. And she took me in. So, you know, then I just, I started college and I found a job and, you know, and then I just took care of myself as you need to.
Right. Well, yeah, no, absolutely. But I mean, so this, you're, in some cases, like an attempt might actually help to mend a family. Like it'll, you know, it'll bring people together and like see like in a better light the fact that, wow, we got some issues going on here and people are trying to kill themselves to get out of this family. We have a problem. It didn't work that way in my case when I was growing up either. And it doesn't seem like for a period of time it affected your family because possibly they were afraid of like legal repercussion or more authority coming down on the family if something else came about on it. But I'm glad that your mom found you, but I'm glad that your mom found you. You know what I mean? I mean, I wish more like I could say that your father hadn't had been so absolutely abusive to you that the only way that you felt that you could survive it was to die.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
it is tragic. It's tragic. A pretty shocking thought to have. I currently, my eldest is 16 and a half. And, you know, certainly over this last year, and I've looked at him and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I was his age and I made that decision. And it's, you know, kind of not comparing, but then, you know, looking at your own child. And if I ever was in a position that, you know, my child felt that his only way out was to take his own life. Yeah, it is tragic.
Yeah. I understand it. I implicitly get it. Like I have empathy flowing all over. I get it. But for those of you who have not heard it put out quite that raw before, okay, take a breath, center ground. It's okay. it's okay. She made it and she's doing great and she's going to give you guys some tips. But this is what I'm talking about, real people that you just don't know what their backside story is. And when you hear it and it's like, holy shit, man, how did you do that? How did you make it from side A to side B? And you're doing well. So yeah. So what was, yeah. So we've had a, yep. we had a marriage in between there that wasn't so great, but yeah. So, but, bore you two beautiful children out of that union. So
yeah, absolutely.
It had its purpose, right?
Absolutely. Okay. But then leading up to that, yeah. you know, I had a, you know, I don't want to sound like a, you know, a tart or anything, but, you know, as a young adult, you know, you have numerous relationships. And right. I had, you know, absolutely. Many relationships that, you know, clearly I didn't end well. And because, you know, later on, I have learned that your mind actually is wired to go back to what it knows. So my only knowledge of relationships mm-hmm. was witnessing my parents' relationships and the relationship that I had with my father, which was an abusive one, which was a controlling one, which was, you know, at best, an emotionally controlling relationship. You know, and I had a string of relationship yep. like this, because yep. this is all that my mind knew how to do.
Right. Sure. Right. Well, you don't know what you don't know. So it's like, you know, like with me, like I see guys that abandoned me because my father was always working and mm-hmm. chasing money and never around. So that's the kind of guy I go for, that guy who's like, here, so, you know, throw me money and shit yeah. and be like, see yeah. you when I see you, and they're gone. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. That's okay. I'm used to this.
No.
This is not good to be used to being treated in a less, you know, in a less than, mm-hmm. you know, good way, because that's, you're not, but you don't know that until something happens. And, you know, mine, it took me for a long time. Mine was Christopher, and then, you know, he died. So it's like, wow, well, at least I got a taste of it, and I see
yeah.
what it is that I should be seeking. So at least, you know, he did that for me. But yeah, that's a tough one. And I think as girls, I don't know if boys do that so much or not, because like, I'm not a dude, but I think girls, we do that. Yeah. That's just because that's what we're ingrained to do, is like, we're supposed to be in love with our daddy. Our dad is our first
absolutely.
Male role model that we're supposed to, you know, attach to. And a lot of us have really maladapted parents.
Yeah, it is a nice way.
Really nice way to put that. You know, they never should have had kids, but you know, it happened, and we are the stories of that. So you know,
yes.
and we make it. You know, we get through it, and we eat the sugar on the toast because that's all we have. And you know, we drink the lemon water diluted 16 times over because
yeah.
we need to, and that's what we have. And we know that if we don't, that we're not going to survive to get to the next
yeah.
step, which is
absolutely.
Going to be better ultimately. Yeah. Right. So how do we jump from, I'm 15 and I'm committing suicide because I'm terrified of my father and my life is just abhorrent and I don't want to do it anymore, to look at me, I'm a mom, I'm a single mom, I'm free, I have freedom, and I yeah. am poor as I'm poor. Okay. How do you go from that girl to this superpower woman that you became, that you found yourself
yeah,
in?
It was a very long journey. Yeah, very long journey. I'm currently 45 years old. So, you know, we're talking, you know, 30 years ago. But, you know, that journey as a young adult, right. obviously, I've mentioned, you know, the relationships that I attracted because of what the vibration that it emitted. That was that vibration of not being good enough. There was the vibration yep. of, you know, come and abuse me because this is all I know. to, you know, going to travel and, you know, and what have you, to meeting my ex-husband. And he wasn't by no means, you know, physically abusive in any way, shape or form. And then when we got together, it was like, yes, finally I've made it. Finally, I found somebody who respects me. And, you know, for a very long time, everything was fine. But then I fell into the being the perfect wife, being so perfect that I always needed to validate myself for the fear of not being enough, for the fear of being told that I'm shit, for the fear of being told that I'm never going to be good enough. Yeah. And then it's only with reflection, it's only with, you know, the last few years that the penny kind of, you know, dropped and like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that this is what I was doing. Then I became a mom and my entire life was devoted to my son. Then we had my eldest daughter and, you know, and then again. But then slowly I realized that this wasn't me. You know, it's almost kind of that little voice inside of me. I've always been very spiritual. But then for a while, I was more religious than spiritual. And to this day, I'm not 100% sure what happened, but I woke up one morning thinking, what the hell am I doing? On a different level, I'm actually repeating what my parents were doing. Yeah, I am unhappy. I am unfulfilled. Right. Yes, I adore my children, but one day they're going to fly the nest. And then what am I going to have? You know, I was imagining myself as my mom, and I'm like, I can't do this. So I confronted my ex-husband, and then I told him that I wasn't happy, and that was it. But then, funnily enough, it gave my mom the courage to do the same. Absolutely. But she actually, it's bonkers, but she actually ended up being divorced from my father before I got divorced from my ex-husband. Yeah, that was completely untrue. I remember talking to her and say, well, if you have the courage to do it in a different country with two young children, with no family, because I have no, you know, no family as in my own family.
Right. You had no foundation whatsoever there. You were nothing.
Absolutely. I had a month's salary in my back pocket, you know, and then working as admin, you know, it's not a lot. Two young children. And I left. I left our family home with the spare bed and the spare TV. And that was it. Yeah. And I thought, I'm going to do it. And I'm a Leo and I'm really stubborn. And I think that helped me. I really went for it, and I was on welfare for a long time, just, you know, choosing between paying for electricity, paying for heating, or paying for food. You know, went to bed so many nights feeling desperately hungry, but knowing that my children got fed, and that was it. It was my win.
It's a sacrifice, but it's a win in the right direction. So yeah, I mean I didn't do it with kids, but I
you've got your fur babies, you know, and you know, ultimately the responsibility, so, you know, is very similar.
I do.
You know, you've got, you know, living beings that you know, rely on you.
Souls, yeah, they're souls, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I was homeless with Doc, which is kind of funny because I was thinking about this earlier. Today is actually Doc. It would have been his 15th birthday today had he not, you know, passed his mission last year. So, but yeah, I was homeless with him for a period of months through a two year period of time where it was like I would get a place and I would lose a place and I would get a place, and it was just like we were just bouncing. And keeping him fed and not like become a thief and not. All this stuff that goes into play when you're like on that verge of like survival and not surviving, and it's all bad decisions that you have to choose from. You know,
exactly.
It's like, what is the least of the worst decisions?
The least of the worst. I like that.
Here, you know? So, oh God, it is awful. And it's like, and I you know, and as much as I like, I may not like where I live right now, although I am, we'll talk about this soon too. I am manifesting my place whole trailer park to be a better situation for everybody, and like lighten the mood, and like just like changing the vibration, yeah, like house by house in a kind of a strange way, but it's kind of like what I'm doing, you know, in my own little thing I do out here. But that key to I forgot what we were talking about. I just like looked outside and there was a cardinal looking in at me, and I'm like,
yeah,
geez, that doc right
you were
there.
Talking about me here cardinal, I am
like, hi mommy, I'm here. So oh yeah, we were talking about sacrifice. And I think any of us who have come from that childhood of, you know, of realizing that you can take yourself out and choosing not to, mm-hmm, when all your senses are screaming to do so, I think that is the foundation of what
and
an
you know what?
Woman is.
You know, just thinking
really
about your earlier question, that the one thing who actually made me change was to forgive my father. And that was a really, really tough road. But, mm-hmm, and that was like the biggest decision of my life, ultimately, because I used to go around and I said, you know what? I might, you know, forget, but I'm never going to go and forgive him because he doesn't deserve my forgiveness. But I didn't understand. I didn't understand that, mm-hmm, forgiveness was not for him. It was for me. And, you know, you could say that I wasted so many years, but ultimately, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to forgive. Yeah. And that was the turning point for me, because ultimately when you, you know, when you hold on to grudges, it actually weakens you rather than empower you. And, mm-hmm, and when you've got long lasting grudges, your, mm-hmm, mind just dwells on anger always and resentment. But that forgiveness actually frees you from that bondage of resentment, and that allows you to heal on the inside. And once you heal on the inside, this is when things start to change. And it really does.
I like that you use the word bondage too, because it is I know people to this day that hold like 20, 25 year old grudges. And it's just like, and there's no reasoning with somebody after that amount of time. I mean, it just is how they are. I mean, there's absolutely nothing that you're going to be able to do, mm-hmm, to possibly change their mind about it. And it's sad. And I pity, and I hate that word, but I pity people like that because they have lost out on so much opportunity to live and to be vital, and instead, like, I just see him like in a dark corner, like festering, like
absolutely,
you know, like,
and festering is a good word, because this is what happens,
like, you know.
It is very sad,
and it's like just so sad. So I mean, I'm glad, you know. And I think the thing is, like, we all have that moment of crossroads. I call it the epiphany moment, where you have a choice to make. You have one choice to make, but it can take you one way or the other way. And the way that you decide to act
absolutely
is what sets the remainder of your course in action. And a lot of people actually choose to do nothing. So I guess there's three choices. They choose to do nothing. And then like 5-10 years down the road, they're still sitting at the same place, and they're like, I can't believe nothing's changed. And it's like,
what?
You know? And like, you and I would look at him and be like, well, duh. Like, you know, I mean, like, what did you expect? But all right. So,
okay.
All right. So we're going to get into some of the nitty gritty here now. So, and I have all your stuff here. I'm going to put it in the show notes, and I'm not going to like do the http://:// thing for the listeners right now, but just know that all your ways to get a hold of Sev will be in the show notes. And at the end, I will drop a couple ways for you to get a hold of her. But she is a law of attraction coach. Okay. And as many of you may or may not know, there are actually seven laws of attraction, of which most of us probably know two. I think that would be fair to say. So we have the law of manifestation, which is how I actually met you. And so we'll go one by one on this, because there's a lot of them, and some of them kind of overlap in my opinion. But the number one is the law of manifestation, which to me has big blinking lights around the word mindfulness. So yeah, do you agree
definitely.
With that? Do you
think that's definitely that's that is right a on? Good a good substitute for the word, yeah.
Okay. So then we have law of magnetism, which is basically you get what you put out.
Yeah, because ultimately the one thing that people you know, have doubled, know a little bit about the law of attraction, it says like attracts like. Yeah, so you have to be, and it's actually, it goes, it's a little bit opposite really to a real magnet, because obviously a magnet will attract its opposite, but with the law of attraction, it attracts the same. So, you know, it's not by, you know, saying being negative will oppose, you know, will attract positive. It's, it doesn't work like this at all. So it is a little bit, I want to use confusing, but for lack of a better word, when people are like, well, if I'm being a magnet, is it just not contradictory from what you say that like attract likes? So, you know, just to keep a, you know, a mindful thought of that. But yeah, the law of magnetism is is attracting, attracting what you're actually emitting on the same frequency. Yeah.
On the same frequency, exactly. So I'm going to be a Tesla coil. I got nothing to do with magnets. I'm just going
to... Love it.
I'm just going to be the coil. Okay, so... Okay, then we have, let's see, the law of pure desire, which is basically what your pure intention to do good without fear or doubt.
That's what it is, It's just leaning into faith. Okay. And this is when we actually, as in human beings, struggle with manifesting, because that just calls on to completely being faithful that the universe has your back. But then in the mind, we have the conscious mind that, you know, we think we live by. And then we have the subconscious mind, which actually, you know, is 90% of the mind. And this is where we actually take decisions from. However, it's also where every single beliefs we have created in our lives are stored. And therefore, the decision that we make every single day is based on that. Right. Yeah.
So then we go back to choosing the wrong.
Because this is where, you know, and this is what I said earlier, that humans are hardwired, their mind are hardwired to go back to what is familiar. So positive or negative, it doesn't have to be positive, because, you know, it would be easy. But then we hardwire you at the same time to move away from what is unfamiliar. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, because we,
right.
we
right.
don't
Even though
know.
It could be good for us.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm the oddball who's like, well, it's better to stay with what I know, because I'm not liking it so much. But, you know, a lot of people are content to just sit in that and be okay with it. And I'm not. All right, so that was, let's see, a pure desire. Then we have I love this, a paradoxical intent. Delicate balance, the appreciation and gratitude for what you have, instead of always looking
at what you don't have. And this is what human beings do. And what I actually tell my clients is, instead of trying to move away from lack and to move away from fear, move towards abundance instead. Yeah. And then that's just, it's such a tiny shift, but a huge impact.
No, it's a huge shift. Okay, don't let her sugarcoat this bullshit here. It is a huge mind shift to wrap yourself around this one.
Yeah.
And when you do, your dominoes start falling. And I'm just saying, hold on, because the minute that you actually grasp this and include it in your life and don't manifest lack, which, oh my gosh, that was key for me, because, you know, gosh, it seems like such a long time ago now that we had that phone call, but it was like, it was podcast, right? It was podcast and dude related and everything. And, and like, I was always like, I can never,
because you keep saying it, you keep reinforcing it, you know, and then it just becomes that self, you know, that self-repeated prophecy that, well, this is what I keep saying. This is what I keep saying. Yep. And all, everything that comes out of my mouth is an affirmation. And, you know, when people saying, oh, affirmations don't work. Really?
Exactly.
Well, everything comes out of your mouth is affirming something.
Yeah. They do. Exactly. Yeah. Everything that you, and basically what this is all coming down to, everybody, is that we are energy. And so basically whatever we put out, we're going to get it back, but we also create current within other people and other vibrational situations. So our current goes through that as well as rebounds back onto us. So you got to be really, really careful about what you are thinking and acting on and plotting.
It is.
Plotting is a good one. All right. So then we have, So then we have the law of harmony, which is synchronization, which is
absolutely. But then that if we focus on love rather than hate, you know, knowing that we are all connected, then, you know, subconsciously we're creating those synchronicities. You know, subconsciously we are actually creating, you know, people saying, oh, I heard about you. Oh, I saw you. Oh, I heard your podcast. Oh, I've read your post. This is interesting. Let's chat. Yeah, it just creates people getting together because we are changing that frequency we're emitting. Yeah.
Exactly. That vibration. So like, and that's kind of, you know, and there's, we kind of skipped over that a little bit, but there's kind of like that weird in-between period where you're like at, you're ascending, but you're not quite at either. Yeah. So you're above what you were, but you're not quite there. And you're like in this like mid wavering tempo. Yeah. And it's like, oh, wow, I don't get along with anybody right now. This is awful, right? But that's a time I think that you're supposed to connect with yourself and pull, right? And pull your own vibration together. And then because once you're already ascending up the ladder, falling backwards, unless you're like super lazy or a sloth or something like that, is not going to happen. Because once you start going up there, your upward momentum is not going to stop. It's just, you're going to continue going. And even if you plateau or you just don't like get tired of what you're doing, I guess, you're still going to be at that level of wanting to help other people to ascend. So it's not like you're just fully stopped. You just, you know, it's like, some people just get tired of what they're doing, I guess is a good way to put it, you know, not like, so, you know, but it doesn't mean that they give up totally or whatever. They find a different purpose.
Yeah, that's really, really good way. But then also, unfortunately, this is when people kind of slow down on their faith because, you know, we are a society that want instant gratification. And, you know, with the work that we put in, we want to see instant result. But as you said, there's that lag time where the universe actually catches up with our dreams because we've been emitting so much shit for so long, right? To actually counteract that, it takes a little bit of time. But you know, many people are like, well, I'm doing all the things and nothing's happening. And it's like, but just have faith. And then sometimes it's a bit too much to ask of people and like, you know what, this is just a crock and it's not working out. But then they're so close to that like huge transformation you know, they kind of like divert a little bit. And as you said, they don't plateau. They're just kind of slowing down. But just to keep on that same gear for a little bit longer, then, you know, then that new momentum picks up.
Yep. Well, yeah, because there's always that excitement of, you know, what is the next thing going to be? I mean, you can't always be going full speed ahead. You will burn out your clutch. You will run out of gas. You have to rest. You know, anything mechanical, you cannot run a machine 100 years for, you know, 24/7. You can't do it. It's going to break. Everything needs time to rest, you know, get oiled, get fed, get, you know, whatever it is need to be rejuvenated and, you know, preventive maintenance. So I kind of worry sometimes about the people that they never take that time to rest and they're just always going because like they feel like they're going to miss their opportunity. And It's like,
yeah,
you're going to miss your
but
opportunity
then you're not
because
seeing
you're going to have a fucking
because
heart attack.
You are too much you know into the future, you know, too like, much, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Then you actually miss being in the present. And it's only in the present that you can take actions. You can't take action yesterday, and you ain't going to wait for tomorrow to take an action. So action happens today.
Exactly.
And, you know, tomorrow is today is tomorrow's yesterday. So, you know, it has to be in a moment. And that forcing and pushing and that, you know, and I see it in a lot in women's entrepreneurs because they really want to make a point. And I've been there. Yeah, I'm no angel. I've been there. But it's like that really strong masculine energy. I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I've got to do it. It's going to go. It's going to go. It's going to. And then you just don't slow down at all. And you just end up burnout.
Yeah, I mean, it's it will happen. Your body will shut you down. It's an inevitability. So it's almost, you know, I've just kind of started doing it too. Like I actually put time for rest in my day planner. Now it's not like every day, like, you know, I know to sleep and stuff like that, but it's like, I will block myself out a 2-hour period of time sometime during the week where I can just do absolutely nothing and just like sit here with not a thought in my head if I want, or read a book or color or just daydream, but not like focus on any specific plan or goal or anything. Just give my mind that chance to just be like, oh, okay, this is what it's like to, you know, what it's like, you know, and I think we need that because like part of the like neuroplasticity is like you feed your mind so much, but you have to give it time to catch up with the expansion.
Absolutely.
You
I like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. So true. So true. Yeah. And then the thing that people are worried, sorry, Dawn, the thing that people, they're worried to miss their opportunity. And you've said that before.
No, you go ahead.
But the thing that people need to understand, and it's taken me years to get there. Yeah. I had to, you know, I'm a certified hypnotherapist and I learned that from that once your mind actually expands, it doesn't retract. It expands. Even if you stop or you plateau or you slow down, it's not going to retract. So that you are not going to lose your opportunity. Yeah. And then it's taken me a while to learn that. And I think that's an important knowledge to have.
Right. Yeah. And neuroplasticity is amazing.
Oh,
a lot
you
of
really can.
Just, like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And it's like, oh, but you really can.
You know? Oh yeah.
And you watch that old dog go. All right. Okay. So let's hit the last two laws and then I want to talk a little bit about the hypnosis. So let's see, of harmony, of right action, which is conscious action, the honor and integrity you put out into the world will
Absolutely. And also that I made a post
into
the group the other day. I don't know if you've seen it, but then there is action, the word action in the law of attraction. Yeah. And we are co-creators.
Yeah.
We're just not sitting here and waiting for somebody to drop everything on our plate. We have to co-create. And in order to do that, we have to take some actions. And the actions have to be congruent with what we want to achieve in life.
Right. Exactly. And then again, there lies the problem of people who just winging life without a plan or clue or a thought and just are just happy in their day-to-day existence of watching Netflix and eating Cheetos.
Absolutely. You
know? Right. Sad. See, I'm not going to get into that because I'm going to like, I'm, I, just,
I know,
like,
but then, you know,
blast.
Hopefully
I'm
they're going to realize that. Well, they do that because their mind is hardwired to go back to what is familiar, to what it knows. So now they are equipped to be able to make a different choice.
Right.
We get, you know, we get to change twice every single second. Yeah, we get to change our thoughts. We get to change our actions every single second of every single day. So everyone has the choice to do that.
Yep. Yeah, and again, it comes to being the mind, mindfulness is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, there have to be books written about it. Quite a few. And let's see. The last law is of expanding influence or universal influence, of which I kind of touched on, that what you put out, you don't really know your own resonance and how many people are being affected
by your vibration to
somebody else,
Absolutely huge. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, people, well, see, we hang with different kind of people. So it's kind of like, when I say people, I'm not talking about like our posse of people, which sounds really like, all people can get to where Seven I are at. Let's just leave it at that. But you have to want, know
definitely.
That you want to change.
But then anyone with a little bit of aspiration are going to want to change. Everyone who's on the poverty line, everyone's on welfare, is going to look, even just looking at someone else said, oh God, I wish I could do that. Having children, oh, I wish I could buy them that. So just that thought is an ambition to want to change. And that's available to everyone.
Right. And the thing is, like, and you also don't know who is watching you while you're doing something, because like I happen to get into flow a lot lately, which I'm really grateful for, because it makes doing like tedious stuff a lot easier, because you don't even realize that you're just doing it, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh wow, okay, cool, that's done. And I just totally,
it's
that
nice.
Bird is out there again. That's so weird. So flow, yeah, I swear to God, that's like so bizarre. He's like, hi. Anyway, so wanting to change. Yeah. So like, if you don't know what you don't know, but what I was going at was like, people are watching you. Like, kids are always watching adults. Your neighbors, they may not be as I spy as my neighbors are, where you actually like see them through the blind at you and watching you, but they are observing what you are doing. And people that you don't even know are being affected by you and influenced by you. And like, I've had a lot of people, more than I'm going to even give a number out to, because it's kind of an astounding number for as short a time as I've had a podcast, have come to me and been like, you influenced me to start my own podcast in Kenya, in Nairobi, in Kazakhstan, and here and there, and all these weird little sublime countries that are like, wow, women aren't really respected that much where you live, right? Are they? And I influenced you to start. And it's like, you don't know what your ripple is going to cause. And because I have this lady in Nairobi that started a podcast about, you know, whatever it is that she's talking about, but nonetheless, as a female voice in a country where women are very much not appreciated, I lent.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing to do. Absolutely. You know, it's just, you've spoken about the children before, and children are always watching, People are always listening. And the ripple effect is huge, because we actually affect somebody, but that somebody is going to affect somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. So the ripple effect just keeps growing and growing and growing. And this is how we change the world. Oh, you're back.
You know, in the same.
I got
Okay, everyone, so that was me and Sev with some leprechauns thrown in to add to the shenanigans of St. Patrick's Day. You know, there's always going to be a glitch or something, but I'm just so grateful that I didn't lose the whole recording because it looked like for a minute it might have just all gone. And, I mean, it was literally like we were talking and boof, the whole network just dropped on my phone, like everything. No bars, it was all gone. So, and what I do want to say is, go find her Facebook group and sign up and look at all the other classes and courses and life hacks that she offers in regards to manifestation and the law of attraction and all kinds of good stuff that you can, you know, do on your own and actually make your life better by changing your mind. Amazing, right? You guys know how much I love that stuff. Anyway, I want to thank y'all for listening. You know, still charts always, Saudi Arabia, hello, thank you, Russia, China, Kazakhstan, you know, you guys all rock, I appreciate it, and go have, say a prayer for all the animals out there that don't know the love that Doc knew for 15, well, almost, he would have been 15 today had he made it, so, you know, just give a special thought out, be kind to people, you know, it doesn't take that much to be kind. Sometimes just by not doing anything and not overreacting and being cruel, that's a form of being kind too, okay? So, oh my gosh, I'm all scattered today. Like crazy scattered. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. You know, I hope everybody's doing well. I hope things are getting under control back in people's lives. I hope we're all starting to find some kind of a new normal out there. And, this is Dawn Shereen. This is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. And hey, everybody, let's all stay alive, okay? Later.